Hello and welcome to episode 11 of the Hollywood Knitter podcast. Today is Monday, November 14th. My name is Allison, and I'm going to be your host today. In today's episode, you can expect applause in the can, now playing coming attractions, quite a bit of gossip. Before I start the show, I just want to say thanks to everyone for coming back and to all my new listeners. Thanks for giving me a chance. I did not mean for it to be quite so long since my last podcast. I'll discuss a little later why that sort of happened, but just rest be assured, I'm very happy to be recording this podcast and I have lots to share. So this may run over a little longer than my normal 30-minute episode, depending on how much I talk. We'll see. Anyways, on with the show. Applause. First off, I want to thank everyone who's gotten in touch with me via Twitter, Ravelry, or email since I last podcast almost a month ago. Bad me. I love hearing from everyone and keep the messages coming. I love to hear from new people and I love to hear that people are enjoying the podcast. And if you have any suggestions or anything you want me to talk about or constructive criticism, anything you want to talk to me about, send me an email. Also want to give a special shout out and thanks. Today, I was listening to podcasts trying to catch up, and I was listening to the Two Knitlet Chicks, which is Barb and Tracy, who are a mother-daughter combo, who do a great podcast if you haven't listened, and she did a shout-out for me. And Barb is so awesome. I met her at the Cognitive Fiber Retreat, and she's just really sweet, and I really enjoy her podcast. If you are a reader or you are aspiring to read more, you need to listen to their podcast because they have wonderful recommendations of current books. Now they're talking about some classic books, and they're just really fun to listen to. Two great gals. So thanks, Barb, for giving me the shout out. Let's get right into In the Can. Wow, FOs. So it's been a month, and I have four FOs, mainly because it's been a month. And all of those FOs our holiday knitting. Yeah, who's on top of her list? This girl. I decided to do some holiday knitting, not anything big, as I talked about, I think, in my last podcast or mentioned it. A bunch of small projects, and I think I managed to do that. Since I last talked to you, have accomplished the gifts for my mother, my dad, my sister, and my nephew. I don't really have too many more left to do, I don't think. We'll see. I have to look at my list again. For my nephew, I did some Christmas clogs. I have done this. This is the felted clog pattern by Bev Galeskis. And I have done this a few times, as I had mentioned, but I'd never done a pair for my nephew. And so I thought that he lives in Massachusetts where it's very cold and they have hardwood floors, might appreciate a pair of slippers that he can watch the felting magic be done on, since my mama does the felting when I mail him. I mail him big and then she does the felting there. It's kind of cool. This pattern is knit on US 11s or 9mm held double, and it's obviously use a 100% feltable wool so that they can felt. I didn't want to buy the separate kids pattern, and there is one because I already have the pattern from many years ago and it comes in multiple sizes. So what I decided to do is just knit the women's small, which I guess is for an approximately a size 5 foot, and hope that it will fit a 10-year-old boy. And that, if not, felting can do its magic and make it a little smaller. I was going to do it in his favorite colors, his favorite team colors, which he's, despite being a New England fan, is a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, as I think he's crazy. He's definitely the odd one out in the family. But I didn't want to go buy yarn specifically if I could go stash diving. So what I came up with was using a Cascade 220 and a Christmas green and a Lion Brand Fisherman Wool and Nature's Brown for the sole. So the green was going to be the top part and the brown is going to be the sole. And I'm going to sell them as Boston Celtics colors because he is a Celtics basketball fan. So I thought that can work. And lest anyone think that I am a horrible aunt and I'm just making him clothing like that, the aunt who sends the pink bunny costume in like A Christmas Story. I am not. This will be to supplement his cooler gift, which last year I think I gave video games. This year I think I'm going to give books, when he was out here, I bought him like 3 books at Barnes & Noble, and he really apparently read them very quickly, and they were series. So I think I'll just continue buying him some books in the series and send him the slippers, and hopefully he'll like them. And some money. I'll probably send him some money. I'm that kind of aunt. The next thing I finished was my dad's Christmas mitts. Now, my dad has perpetually cold hands. When he was younger, he broke his hand or something, and the way it healed, it didn't heal properly, and so over time it pinched his nerve. So he has very bad circulation in his fingers, and so they get to be very cold. So, and my trip home last winter in February during crappy, snowy, slushy weather, I found out that he was wearing some fingerless gloves that I had knit for myself, that I had wondered where they were. I'd knit them for myself for work years before, and I lost them, or so I thought, but apparently I brought them to see when I'm on a visit and left them there. But not only was he using those, he was using a pair I knit for my mother, and I think a pair I'd made for him. So he really wears them. Some of the other ones were kind of in girly colors, but no one was telling him that, so he was wearing them. I thought I would make him another simple pair, and I decided to knock off a cowl as part of this. As part of the Super Summer Knitaway camp that the Knit Girls are putting on next summer that I was lucky enough to be selected to go to, they are doing something where the teachers, if you do a knit along for the teachers that are going to be teaching at the camp, then you can get like extra raffle tickets or something. And the one for November just happened to be Wendy Johnson. So I went and looked through, and she has a very simple fingerless mitts pattern. I used that. I used for the yarn, I purchased some Ranch of the Oaks Zoo Blend when I was at the Cognitive Fiber Retreat. And that's basically random strands of alpaca wool or whatever that I think that they just have left over from other ones, and they kind of just strand them together and make another skein. So the skein ended up being pretty much one strand of black and one strand of white throughout, except for a short bit of brown that was kind of thrown in there. It ended up being a little more thick and thin than I would have wanted. I was envisioning like a thicker pair of gloves, but when I swatched, it really wasn't going to be. So I went stash diving again to find another yarn to hold with it, and I wanted them to be mostly black. So what I ended up actually pulling out of my stash was a random skein of Patent Grace, which is actually 100% cotton. And I held them together and knit them on a US 8 or 5 millimeters to make these really kind of dense fingerless gloves for him. I think they're going to be really warm. They're really dense, as I said, and the alpaca and the wool and everything balanced with the cotton makes it so it's nice. I think he could actually like go make snowballs and stuff with this. I don't know. So hopefully he'll like them. Well, I know he'll pretend to like them even if he doesn't, because he's my dad and he's awesome that way. So that was another one knocked off for Pops. Then I finished a cowl for my sister. I call it the Autumn Red Honey Cowl. Now, my sister is, as I mentioned, severely allergic to animal fibers. And for years, I couldn't remember this. I don't know why. Probably because I wasn't. And I was a new knitter. And I was just like, oh, look, take this awesome project I knit. And who cares what I made it in? And who cares that it gives you hives? So this year, I went and specifically purchased the acrylic for her for this project. And I went with the Karen Simply Soft in a red, and the pattern was the Honey Cowl, which is a free pattern by Madeline Tosh. And I did the largest size, so I cast on the 220 stitches and knit the pattern as written, which I think goes to like, it's supposed to be like 11 or 12 inches wide. I ended up with 10 inches wide by a 52 inch circumference. So enough that it can go around twice, or it looks kind of cool just kind of hanging down as the longer style. The stitch pattern is a slip stitch honeycomb, which is really cool, but I decided to kind of break it up a little and just threw in some plain stockinette stitch every 12 rows. I put like 3 rows of stockinette stitch in, so it was a little different, and it came out beautifully. It's really soft. The yarn was surprisingly really awesome to work with. I'm tempted to throw this in the wash machine to see how it would wash, but I don't want to jinx it. I'm like, so I'm just going to trust the Karen Simply Softs, because from what I've read, washes really well. Plus, it's a cowl. She won't really need to wash it very often. And the best part of it is, even though I bought two skeins, it only took a little over one, like one and a smidge. So I have enough to kind of do another one for myself or whoever I have this skein of red. I was just really pleased with this acrylic because I'm not a snob, but I don't use a lot of acrylic, 100% acrylic anyways. I tend to use acrylic in a wool blend for the super wash materials or the super wash properties, because I don't like to hand wash my sweaters. That's just what I've learned about myself. I need to be able to do some machine washing and maybe a little drying for it to work for me. This found out by 2 or 3 shrunk sweaters, because I was like, it can work, and it never does. So now I'm just not allowed to knit that for myself unless it's super washed. So yeah, so that was a third Christmas present I finished, my third FO. And then I finished another set of felted clogs, because my mom actually requested felted clogs for Christmas. And, you know, when your mom requests something specifically, you got to make it for her. I did for the sole, I used the Lion Brand Fisherman's Wool in the natural brown again. And then for the top, I held 2 different yarns together. One was a Cascade 220, and I think the colorway is called Shrimp, but it's really this like pinky salmon kind of pinky color. And then I held it with a skein of yarn that I received as a gift years ago for cat sitting, I think like 7 or 8 years ago. And she had been traveling to the Navajo Nation. So it's like Navajo wool. It's like a burgundy color, and it's a single ply kind of roving type, and probably around the same yardage as Cascade 220. I'd say 190 to 200 yards, probably a little less. It's 100 gram hank. It was plenty to do these clogs. It's going to end up, hopefully, when it gets felted, which, again, my mom will be felting her own present, but she likes it, I think. It's going to be like a pink and burgundy kind of marled color, so it should be nice. So those are the 4 FOs I have, all of them holiday gift giving, and I think I may have one more for my niece I might do a little something for. And then I have all my knit gifts that have to go back east done, which is awesome. My brother doesn't get anything knit this year. He didn't request anything. He is hard to knit for. And he just got a new apartment and would be better served through gift cards and things that will help him furnish and, you know, accessorize his place. So that's what I'm going to go with there. So yeah, that's it for In the Can. Now playing. So I don't know if you guys noticed what wasn't in the can for me, but what wasn't finished was my Cassidy. Still, you may remember Cassidy from Chic Knits is a beautiful cabled cardigan that I did in Barocco Comfort Worsted in the color Beetroot. And that is entirely finished except for the buttons, because I am still waiting to sit and do the grosgrain ribbon, which I purchased over a month ago. And I really don't have too much of an excuse for this. I mean, a little bit. I haven't had what I would consider enough time to sit and sit quietly at a table and watch a tutorial on how to do it and practice my sewing, because I don't do much hand sewing, like never. So yeah, I think it's a combo of not having the time and still being a little intimidated. I sort of feel a little like Jasmine. She was having some issues doing some grosgrain ribbon that's been, you know, sitting around and waiting for her, though I think she did knock it out. Jasmine and the Knitmore Girls. So when I put myself, you know, in the same kind of boat as Alexa Herr, then I don't feel quite so bad for waiting. But I do want to wear this sweater, so I need to get on it. I actually am hoping to get it done the next few days. It is high on the list to be done. And I'm trying to get over my intimidation and just do it. The first one will never be the best, but it's okay as long as it's my best. What else is now playing? I have my Halloween birthday socks. I'm using the Madeline's Tosh sock in a candy corn colorway, which is my Halloween colorway that I got as a special as part of a special package 2 years ago from somewhere, I can't remember where. I am using the Paper Moon pattern by the Deep Fall Nitty, which is like this cool cabled and garter stitch sock, which I really like. But I've been slowly and steadily working on it. I did finish the first sock by my birthday, so I still count it as a win. And the other sock is about, I think I just finished the heel and now I'm on the leg part because it's a toe up. So it should hopefully be finished by Thanksgiving. That's what I'll give myself to. It's just been my personing. You know, I do a few here and there, or I'll do a few rounds and then I'll do an hour's worth and then I'll do a few rounds. And so it's been a little slow. Overall, the pattern, as I said, I love. I did have a quibble, which I was really sad about, because Madeline Tosh a few times. And as everyone knows, the colors are beautiful and the yarn is really nice. But this particular skein, I had three knots within short succession. I was really peeved. Three. And it's like, okay, I came the first knot. I'm like, okay, whatever. And I cut it and I spit spliced it. I did that. And then like literally like I think I went quarter of an inch, half an inch, and there was another knot. And I was like, really? Two knots? All right, I'm just unlucky. And then a few more rounds and there was a third knot. It was so annoying. Luckily, the color on this one isn't really too even, so I wasn't too concerned with like pooling or anything like that. But I was peeved. But I don't know what to do. It's like, you know, Madeline Tosh. I have more Madeline Tosh. I'm knitting with it on another project right now, and I haven't experienced this. So maybe I was just really unlucky, or someone was really lazy that day that they put three knots in quick succession in one skein, or I don't know. They were trying to get, like, they promised so many of the skeins to this person for their club, and they had to make it work. I don't know. But since then, I haven't run into any. Like, that was towards the toe of the second sock, and I haven't run into any since, so I'm happy, and hopefully I won't run into another before I finish. Those are ongoing. And then the last project I have on the needles right now is another holiday gift for a friend. It is the Shifting Sands scarf by Grumparina, and I'm knitting with Madeline Tosh, Merino DK, and Tarte, which is this lovely deep red colorway. And it is for a friend, one of my best friends, actually, from high school and college, and now, who just moved to Maryland. She was in Florida for, I think, a year, and now she's taking a job in Maryland and starting, I think, in January. So she requested a new winter scarf, and she actually picked the colorway, which I'll talk about a little more later, but I picked the pattern, and Shifting Sands was a scarf. If Grumparina has a blog, and she does amazing things, though since she had her child, she's not quite as prolific or active on her blog, but she did this scarf, I think for her grandfather, her dad, and it's a lot of cables crossing back and forth and back and forth, and she calls it the Shifting Sands because it kind of looks like the sands on a dune. And when I was trying to find a project for this yarn, I wanted something that would not be too boring for me, but she's not anyone who would like anything too busy, and I wanted it to be warm, and I wanted to use the two skeins of DK that I bought for it, which is 450 yards approximately. And I went back and forth and looking, you know, all over, and then I came across the scarf, and I remember a few years ago when it came out, really loving the look of it, and it works really well for these kettle dyed kind of colors that aren't totally static and can benefit from having this kind of movement into the scarf to take away from the slight adjustments in the color. So I'm really pleased with it. I'm about 30% done. It does get boring. It is the same thing over and over, and it's a lot of cables without a needle kind of thing. I think I'm doing, I don't know, 8 or 10 crossings every other row. It gets to be old, but I think I've got the rhythm now, and I'm just trying to plod along. I just need to get it done. I'm guessing probably by mid-December so I can get it in the mail and on time to her. I will get it done. It will be my plotter right now. It's my one I have with me. And that's all I have for now playing. upcoming attractions. Well, as you've heard, I've finished most of my holiday knitting with 4 projects knocked out, 1 on the needles, and then I have 1 more that is definitely promised. And that is another one for a friend who has requested a pair of fingerless mitts. This is a friend from college. I think that's it. I'm going to look at my list. I don't have anything planned for my boyfriend this year. I made him socks last year. I don't know if I'll make him something this year. He doesn't really need anything cold weather related because it's not cold enough in LA and he runs really hot anyways. So we'll see if I make him something. And then I entertain thoughts of making some gifts for his family. And I don't think I'll make anything specific, but I may go into my gift box and gift a few things to at least his mother and his sister, who I think have expressed interest and appreciation of my knitting abilities. I will try gifting them with something that's been perhaps waiting for a new home in my gift box. And then my goal is to finish that darn Fair Isle vest that I feel is lingering now that I really want to get done so I can wear it or be done with the Fair Isle anyways. So I can clear the basket because it's sitting under my coffee table and I look at it every time I watch TV and I realize I haven't touched it in 6 months and it bothers me. Soon. So gossip, gossip, gossip. This is where it may get a little long, guys, because I have a lot to talk about. I've done a lot since I last talked to you or things have been happening that I want to share. We'll go sort of in order because I think that's the easiest for me to remember. But since I last talked, I was planning on going to Portland and I did and it was awesome and I really want to talk about the trip here because I did wonderful things, fiber related and hiking and eating, and it was just cool. It started off on a Thursday and I was flying in and my friends were going to fly in later. I ended up finding out I was getting in around 4:30 to Portland and they were supposed to get in, I think, at 8:30. So I decided that that would be the time for me to do my yarning. And go and do yarny things and check out a store or two and buy my souvenir yarn. So I solicited some from advice on Twitter and I got some. I ended up going to just one. I'd planned on going to 2, but I ended up going to just one. And I went to the Urban Fiber Arts, which is in downtown Portland and was very close to my hotel. It was a great store. First of all, Portland, walking downtown, it's such so much fun. It's so cool and funky, and I really like the vibe of the city. But Urban Fiber Arts was really cool because they were having their knit night. So I totally, like, walked by the store and then, like, realized I walked by it and, like, turned around and, like, went in, and everyone was immediately friendly. Cindy, the owner, and the crew there, whose names, because it's been so long now, I can't remember, and I apologize, I didn't write them down. Anyways, all the ladies there were so welcoming and so funny and so nice. And so I did a little tour around the store and I really liked the store because she has a whole wall of which is basically just local dyers and providers. So you can get your true souvenir kind of yarn by buying local. And then she had other really cool yarns and different books. And I ended up doing a fair amount of damage on things that I wanted, though. For my yarns, I got some Abstract Fibers Super Sock in this really cool black colorway with all sorts of colors and other things in it. The other yarn I got was Pico Acquardia. I think I'm saying that wrong. But anyways, it was a wonderful local dyer that did this really cool yellow with, like, bits of gold. It reminded me very fall. Like, I was walking around and all of these colors were jumping out, and this one I just kept, my eye kept going back to. So I was like, I was only going to get one for my souvenir skein, and I really wanted that Abstract Fiber, but I got this one too. You know, when the credit card floodgates open. And then the other thing I ended up picking up was Lolo body bars. I've heard many awesome things about Lolo bars from many other podcasters and things like that, but I'd never had a chance to try it myself. And she had quite a few different selections of Lolo bars there. And I decided that they would make the perfect gift for my friends who I was meeting because I hadn't picked up anything for them. And then I also got one for myself and one extra just for my mom or my sister. And so my friends could have a choice in the scents. And so I ended up getting a vanilla moon, a lilac lavender, a sweet plumeria, and a blackberry sage. And the one I kept was the blackberry sage, which is so yummy. And then the other ones all went to various things. And then the last thing I picked up was something I've been meaning to pick up, but I haven't ordered online. And so I've kind of been looking for a place to get it every time I go somewhere yarny. And that was Isolde Teague's Little Red in the City, which so many people have reviewed and said awesome things about that I wanted to get it myself. So they had copies there. So I picked it up. After shopping, I decided, you know what? I asked if I could just sit and hang out at their knit night, and I did. And we just sat and chatted and talked about all sorts of things. And the gals were just really funny and really friendly. And it was a really great way to pass a few hours till my friends got in. And then we went to, actually, one of my friends got in because one of them missed her flight, which she's done more than once. But I guess her driver for her shuttle was too slow, and so she missed the flight. And so she was getting in now after midnight as opposed to 8 o'clock. But my other friend from Texas, these are all my old college roommates. So my friend from Texas, old college roommate from Texas, ended up getting there. And then we went to dinner, and I wanted to go to a brewery because I'm a big beer fan. And they're not big beer drinkers, but I am. And so I wanted to go have some beer. So at the recommendation of the gentleman at the front desk of the hotel, which was amazing, we went to the Deschutes Brewery. I know I'm saying that wrong. Deschutes. And it was really yummy. I had a really yummy burger and a really yummy beer, and it was exactly what I wanted. Then we headed back to the hotel, and we waited for my friend to get there. Now, I want to mention something about the hotel. We stayed at the Nines Hotel in downtown Portland, and it is a luxury hotel. I mean, it was beautiful, beautiful room, like on a 14th floor in a corner room, and it was white with like Tiffany blues and a cool couch, and it was really nice. I mean, my friend who is a surgeon, she's splurges and pays for our room when we go on these trips, and then we take turns paying for each other's meals and stuff. And she found a nice place. It was nice and so centrally located. I just love how you can walk everywhere. That was on Friday, and she got in late, that was on Thursday. And so on Friday, I had rented or reserved a car because I was like, let's get out of the city this time. Let's see some of this beautiful, you know, Northwest gorgeous nature. And so we rented a car and we went along the Columbia River Gorge. It was amazing. It was so green and so lush, so I can't even describe it. I mean, I live in Los Angeles now, so I live in, there's probably more concrete per square mile than anything, not let alone people. And to go out and see so much nature and for it to be so green, because Southern California is it's a high desert kind of climate, and there is a lot of green, but it's not natural, not like this was. We did a lot of little hikes along there, along the road that goes along the Columbia River Gorge. Then we had lunch at Multnomah Falls, which by the time we got there, it was raining. It was pretty overcast the whole time in the morning, but when we were doing our morning hikes, it wasn't raining. And so we had actually done some different areas, some little long hikes. But by the time we got to Multnomah Falls, it was a little sprinkling. So then the clouds really kind of settled in and it got really gray. And so they were all set with the falls for a while. My goal had been to drive along there and then to go along the road that goes, I think it's where all the fruit and apple orchards and things are, and then to see Mount Hood. I really wanted to see Mount Hood. To see Mount Hood on an overcast day is pretty damn difficult. And like, I didn't even realize. We did the road and as we're going along and it's like raining and I was like, what are we going to do, guys? And they're like, I don't know. What do you want? And because I was driving, I was like, oh, it said Bonneville Lock and Dam. I'm like, let's go there. It says Visitor Center. And my friend's like, eh. And I'm like, too bad. I'm driving. I just spontaneously went to the Bonneville Lock and Dam. And it was really cool. So it's a hydroelectric plant, two of them actually, that span two parts of the river. And then they also have lock there for river traffic, obviously, barges and things like that. I'm an engineer, so of course it's all awesome. Like, they had a great visitor center, and they showed where the turbines are, and they showed how it was constructed, which is amazing. They basically stop the river around this, and they build this hydroelectric plant, and then they let the river come back. And then the other coolest thing was the fish bridge. I've heard about this before, because we all heard about how are salmon going to spawn upstream, and et cetera, et cetera. And they said, oh, a fish bridge. And you hear it, but you don't really think about what's involved in it for the fish. So they build, which basically is a, like almost like a series of locks, but it's water flows down. And so it keeps a series of baffles that basically hold water back. And in each one, there's a entrance to the next one. And so imagine it's just like a step series progression, but the water's flowing down, but the water stays at different levels. So the fish can go up one and then kind of swim up in that one and then go into the hold of the next one, which he's now at the bottom. And then he kind of swims up and it goes that way, which is all great. And then as you get to the top where the water has really high pressure, they actually have to build like a switchback. So it goes straight and then it turns around. It comes like a 180 and it comes back and then it goes around again to slow the water enough that the fish can swim up it. And at the visitor center, they actually have fish windows so you can see the fish swimming. And it is tough, people. There were some fish that, like one or two that would zip by. But then there was this old, I don't know if it was old or big dude. And for the 15 minutes that we were there, he didn't move an inch. He basically was swimming to stay in place. And I felt so bad for him. They say on average, the fish can take anywhere from 2 hours to 48 hours to go up the whole bridge. And they have people, because they need to keep track of the fish, of the type of fish that are coming up, like fish counters, like from sunrise to sunset, counting fish, because they, human eyes can differentiate the species more than a computer. So yeah, I was just all geeking out over all this. And my friend was, the surgeon was just not as geeky as I was. My other friend's by education, electrical engineer, though she does business now. It was just cool. So Bonneville Lock and Dam, thumbs up. After that, we continued the drive, and then we were going along the road that has all of the fruits, and we stopped at one of the orchards. We didn't go picking ourselves, but we did pick up some jam and an apple. Like, I got a single apple that they had picked, and it was honestly, I don't know what the apple was, but it was the single best apple I've ever had in my life. It was so delicious. If I had known how delicious it was, I would have bought a whole bag. The jam, I haven't had a chance to taste it yet, but I also wasn't able to bring it all back because I got like one little jar and one bigger jar, and I didn't check my luggage, and I didn't realize that jam is a liquid. I don't know why I didn't think that, but it is. So when I went through TSA, my larger one was confiscated. So I think I only have like a blackberry or something, but I haven't tried it yet. I'm sure it will be good. Then we continued on our drive and we were going along Mount Hood, or I thought we were going around Mount Hood, but apparently we were on Mount Hood. At one point, I started going to visit this place that was up on the hill. I guess some of the exterior shots of possibly just a few from The Shining were there, but I couldn't tell when I went up there. But so I was like, let's go see. And it was getting later. It was like 4 o'clock and it was getting darker. And my friends are like, oh, I don't want to see. And I'm like, I do. Come on. And so I'm driving again. So I'm in charge. So I take off up the hill. And my friend's like, yeah, you wait. By the time we get up to the top, you're not going to be able to see anything. And she was right. As we started climbing, like, it's just the fog and the clouds, because we're going up, obviously, started getting thicker and thicker and thicker, except for like a brief 3 second window where the clouds broke and I could see the top of Mount Hood with the snow and the blue skies, and then the clouds came in again. And my friend Abina, who was sitting next to me, she saw, but my other friend in the back seat thinks we both are liars. She's like, you didn't see anything. I don't know what you're talking about. You guys are making it up, because she didn't see it. But I did see Mount Hood for a brief glimpse, and it looked pretty before the clouds came in and the rain. We ended up making it back to the hotel, and we decided to eat in the hotel that night. and it was not very good. I'm not even really going to talk about it besides saying it was a really, really expensive restaurant and it was really, really not good. Enough said. The next day was our Portland day, our day to kind of explore the city, and Saturday. So we started off with Voodoo Donuts, of course. I didn't go all crazy and get any of the crazy donuts. I think I just got a blueberry and a chocolate, and they were delicious. My friends did get some of the crazy donuts, and they were so big, I think they ate like 4 bites, and they were done. But it was really cool, and it was an experience. After that, we did a walk. We walked along the water. We were heading towards the Saturday market, but it was still a little early, and all the vendors weren't set up. So we walked along the Willamette River, and I fell in love with the bridges. Again, engineer, geek, woohoo. I absolutely adore the Steel Bridge. It is awesome feat of engineering. It was a bridge. It's a telescoping double-deck vertical lift bridge, and it was originally built in 1912. And basically what that means is that it has two levels. On one level is the train tracks, like the Union Pacific. And then a few years ago, they built on that same level a pedestrian walkway to go across it, and bikers and everything use it. Then on the top level, that's where the cars and the light rail go. And basically, it has huge, huge counterweights, like millions and millions of pounds. And it can lift either the one section at the bottom where the Union Pacific is to raise it up just a little bit for some boats to come underneath, or it can raise both sections, and that's the double, to raise it up even higher. And so it can raise both portions of the bridge. But it's just so cool that they can raise the lower portion of the bridge and like not disturb the top, so the cars don't have to go. And I took a ton of pictures, and I'll make sure to put some in my blog post. And I'm nuts. And I loved it. And they have lots of bridges in Portland. Lots. So that's enough about me and bridges. It's really cool. You should check it out. So then Saturday market, and we walked around, and both of my friends picked up some things. Like, my friend got a piece of art that she's actually getting shipped to Maryland, and they got some other little wonderful little crafts and things. I was really impressed with the extent of the crafts and craftsmanship that was there. I mean, these are people, it seems like they come out every Saturday and they have some beautiful, beautiful things. I was trying not to buy things for the sake of buying things. Like, I was trying to look for gifts, and I didn't really have at that time a good idea in mind. So I didn't really purchase too many things, but my friends more than made up and did that for me. After that, we decided to, what do we do after that? We went back to the room to drop our stuff off, and then we headed out to get some lunch, and we went to a great Thai place, and it was over near Powell's Books, and that's, I don't remember the name of it, but it was really, really yummy Thai, really yummy Thai. After that, we went over to the Chinese gardens. We were trying to decide between the Japanese and the Chinese, and we ended up going over to the Lansu Chinese Garden, which is basically a Chinese garden recreated over a block. It's a block long, large in Portland with a lake in it and a traditional tea house and a lot of the walkways and the art. And it was amazing. Like, it was beautiful. I was really impressed with it, like the attention to detail and the plants that they brought over. There are a few spots that you walk through, and I don't know what the plants were, but they were so fragrant. And I loved the floor. It was like stones placed with like moss growing up. And I'm like, I want this in my backyard. Like, that's what I will do if I ever have a house, because it was gorgeous. So we walked around and we absorbed there. My friend ended up not feeling well, and so she went back to the hotel room. Me and my other friend stayed and had some tea, the traditional tea where you make it and try the different teas, and that was fun. And I had some mung bean cake, which I adore, and then after that we went over to Powell's Books, because no trip to Portland is obviously complete without a trip to Powell's Books, which, if you're not aware, Powell's Books is like the largest bookstore I think in the United States. It's like a whole city block, like 3 or 4 floors. It's got new and used books, every book, tons of books. It was Of course, I wandered in a few different, I couldn't take it all in. I mean, we gave ourselves like 40 minutes there and we kind of split off. And I went, obviously, and checked out the craft books. And I ended up picking up a used copy of Crocheting on the Edge. I wanted to increase my crocheting skills. And I believe that is a Vogue knitting book. As I was leaving and I was paying for this, they had the brand new books displayed. And they just happened to have Wendy Knits Lace Essentials right there. And I just snapped it up without looking at it, which isn't like me. But I've heard many good things about it. And I love her lace. And who can't use more lace patterns? And it was just really pretty. So I picked it up. I picked up yet another book. So I got three knitting books this trip. Oh. Oh, something else that we had done earlier in the day is I was talking, my friends know I knit. They know I'm a crazy knitter. And I offered to knit them something custom. And that's where the gifts came in. I said, I haven't made you guys gifts in a long time. Christmas is coming up. Why don't you just tell me what kind of project you want? And then we'll go to the store, a yarn store, and you guys can pick out your own yarn. So that's what we did. And so that time we went to Knit Pearl, which is also in downtown Portland. My friend, the doctor, picked up the Merino DK and the tart for her scarf. And then my other friend picked out a skein of Tosh Vintage and Opaline. She really likes the purples and she requested some fingerless gloves. So it was really cool to go and to have them be able to pick out like their colors and what they wanted and basically, you know, kind of steer them towards the kind of fibers that would work and weights that would work. So I'm really excited that I think they'll both really like what they're getting. And then just because I couldn't resist, I picked up a skein of Tosh Sock and Black Velvet for myself, which is like these grays with these reds. And it was just so pretty. I petted it like 6 times while I was there. And I'm like, you know what? I'm on vacation. I'm buying it. So I got another skein of yarn for me. So that makes three vacation skeins and 3 books. I did pretty well. That was pretty much the night. So the rest of the night, we went back to the hotel and we were staying on the concierge level and they had a basically a lounge area where they would have little desserts or hors d'oeuvres or breakfast in the morning and free wine and beer. And so we ended up just sitting in there for a few hours and having some wine and chatting and talking and catching up like you do with old friends that you don't see very often, which sadly we only really get together, the three of us, this one time a year, and this is only our 2nd year doing it, but we're making it an annual tradition. Next year, I think we're going to go to Puerto Rico, so that will make me being the furthest to fly, but it's my turn, so that will be cool. So that was Portland. It was awesome. I totally dig the vibe of the city, totally would go back to visit, maybe even live, I don't know. I don't know if I could convince my boyfriend, but it was really nice. It's a really great city. So those of you who live up in the Northwest, you're slowly winning me over. Between that and all the fiber fests and all the fun and frivolity that you guys are having, I'm very jealous. I kind of want to move up there and have fun with you guys. You never know. That was Portland. So then I came back. And then that following weekend, I did the quickest trip ever to Oakland, California. We drove. We went for a concert. It was a concert of my boyfriend's favorite band ever called Spangl. And they're an English electronic music kind of musicians. And they've only, I think, put on 7 live concerts ever. Most of them are usually in Europe. And they were doing one in New York on Friday night. And then the Saturday night, I think it was the 29th, they were doing it in Oakland. I got 4 tickets because you have friends who like it. One of the friends couldn't make it. So I said I would go as long as I didn't have to drive. So we took my car, but he did all the driving. We left on Saturday morning. We got up there in the afternoon. We went to this concert, which was awesome. We stayed up till like 5 a.m, got a few hours sleep, asked for a late checkout at the hotel, and they gave us a late checkout at 2:00, which is the latest I've ever been given. And it was awesome. And it was very, very much appreciated. That reminds me, I have to go leave an awesome TripAdvisor review for them for doing that. It's great. Oakland, downtown Oakland was fine. We did see Occupy Oakland. It was a few days after the incident and a few days before, I think, their strike. I didn't get a chance to walk through, but my friends did. And yeah, I'm not going to really say too much about it, but more power to the people for sticking up for rights. And yeah, That's all. I did get a fair bit of knitting done on the trip. That's where I was knitting the cowl. A lot of the cowl was knit on that trip, and then was listening to podcasts. I did realize the next day I'm not really cut out for sitting in a car 5 hours each way, or 10 hours within like 36 hours. My back hurt quite a bit. Getting old. Yeah, the getting old part brings me to my birthday, which was October 31st. I am now 35. Yeah, my birthday was nice. I ended up taking the day off of work and kind of just was recovering from the weekend and putzing around and doing things. And then my boyfriend had planned something and he wouldn't tell me what. And he just said, okay, you know, we're going this time, be ready, be dressed. And so I was, and he drove, and I figured he was taking me to dinner somewhere nice. And he was, but he actually planned a birthday dinner. And so he invited a bunch of friends. And so it was like a surprise birthday dinner at one of my favorite Mexican restaurants in LA, Loteria in Hollywood. It was great. He invited a wide selection of friends. And we had about, I think, 10 or 12 that could make it. And there were some other people who said they couldn't. I was surprised and touched that he like did that, because he actually had to. These aren't numbers that he had. So like he had to contact people, like other friends, to get other numbers. And you know, he's not Facebook friends with everybody. And so he really put some effort into it. So I was really pleased, touched that he did that. So it was a nice birthday. So that's a lot of talking. So now to talk about my other big news. And that is I have agreed to a temporary assignment for work. So LA has varied power and water interests in far-flung places, and a construction job has come up in the Owens Valley, and they were looking for volunteers. And since I didn't have a project at the moment, and my next project didn't seem to be starting for a few months, I volunteered. It is a project that requires me to be up in Lone Pine, California, population 2000, home to the Whitney portal, if you want to come climb Mount Whitney. And I have to be up here Monday through Friday. Basically, I drive up Monday morning and I drive back Friday afternoon. And I'm going to be working on a construction project up here. And they put me up in a hotel in between and things like that. So I'm actually recording from my hotel room. This is my first night up here and we'll see how it goes. I'm not really liking the aloneness of the room, but maybe we'll get better. One of the things I was going to ask everyone who listens is, I don't know if anyone is a regular business traveler, because I'm not. And I really could use any tips or tricks anyone has. I'm concerned about my eating. Like, I don't want to eat out all the time. I think I'll be okay for breakfast and lunch, but like dinners and stuff. So any tips and tricks for that? And then I have to get my exercise in still. And I was thinking of taking up running, but it's too dark here too early and there's no lights here, so I can't run after dark. I'm going to be staying at various hotels as the department directs me, so I won't always be in the same hotel. This one I think has a fitness center that I'm going to check out tomorrow, but some of the other ones won't. And so if anyone has, I guess I'll have to do like DVDs, but like this one doesn't have a DVD player. I guess I can use my computer. Anyways, yeah, so I agreed to do this until at least the end of January, and then the project is a year, but I wouldn't commit to doing it a year because that's a lot. We'll see how it goes. Maybe I need to just make some friends in the Lone Pine area. Any knitters out there up here? I should check Ravelry. Maybe there are. I think that's enough for tonight. I was going to give a review and talk about a nominee, but I think I will save that to the next episode. Because I'm up here in Lone Pine and I am a little lonely and have some evenings free, I think I might be podcasting a little more frequently. So I will save my review and my Hollywood knitter nominee for the next one. So that brings us to the end of the show then. First of all, I want to thank everyone for listening. I do appreciate that that I have listeners, and so thank you very much. And if you want to contact me, I'm Allison1031 on Ravelry and Twitter. You can drop me an email at Allison1031@gmail.com or HollywoodKnitter@gmail.com. Either one of those works. Or you can find all of the show notes and anything I've talked about today at www.hollywoodknitter.com. That's a wrap from Hollywood, or in this case, Lone Pine, where fantasy meets fiber and dreams are knit. Everyone, have a great one. Till I talk to you again.